Undigestible, practical inspiration and life strategies for smart women who struggle through stress, overwhelm, perfectionism, overthinking, anxiety, worry, fear storms, all or nothing thinking, and the ridiculous need to control what's out of her control. This is a podcast dedicated to exploring those undigestible bits to habitual peace and the balanced yet driven life. I'm Maya, behavioral registered dietitian, food and nutrition contributor for 3TV, entrepreneur, an advocate for women who want to live a life beyond fear, and a fellow smart woman who just struggles with life sometimes. The secret is in resistance. We naturally resist the seemingly undigestible bits to maintain our comfort, which limits our ability to grow by keeping our desires at constant odds with our insecurities. We're smart women who can just struggle at times. Yet, we're here to take on life to the best of our abilities, to step more fully into ourselves, to express our creativity, to balance doing and being, and to lift up our world through compassion. So let's explore, with intent to reduce, of course, these undigestible bits by learning how to think differently. There's this Polish proverb that says, and I have no idea if it's an actual Polish proverb, but this is what the internet says, so we're going to go with it, that says, every time you feel yourself being pulled into other people's drama, repeat these words, not my circus, not my monkeys. I actually use it quite often, especially when I'm being pulled into my own drama. Quite early on, and you heard my story, which was in episode one, I refer back to voices in our head a lot. I kind of joke with my clients all the time, but it's not really a joke that we hear these psychotic voices in our head. And in my early years, the voices that were really loud and really prominent were the junkie, for example. The junkie is like that kid in the candy store. It's like just screaming and kicking around, wanting candy, wanting sugar, wanting it now, and thinking about food all of the time, thinking about what's for dinner, even if when it's breakfast, trying to focus on the next task at hand, but all we can think about is food. Or there's the berator, that berator, we all know who that person is. It's when you take a look at yourself in the mirror or you compare yourself to other women and you think about everything that's wrong in your life or how it's never going to happen for you, right? The berator is just, we get really hard on ourselves. Even the rationalizer was really loud when I was younger as well. And the rationalizer, still yet to this day, I can very much tell when the rationalizer is loud and clear in my life. The false rationalizer is really that cunning, suave voice that says, you worked out so hard. You totally deserve that right now. Or you worked so hard on that project. Go ahead. This is a treat. You can treat yourself and eat that. Right? I know you've thought these things too. I know that I'm not alone in this one. And fast forward, of course, these voices were still there, but I had perfectionism is really loud. Perfectionism is a really loud voice, really falls in line with this all or nothing type thinking. It's very black and white, pizza and cake, carrots and celery, 0%, 100%. Go hard or go home. If it's not perfect and it's not done perfectly, then it doesn't count. It's the very reason why some of us have such difficulty. I remember it was either a good day with my mood or a bad day, a good day with my food or a bad day. There was no such thing as having a cookie and a salad at the same time, or I may as well say, forget it, eat it all and start again tomorrow. In my story, in the later years of my story, I fell into a lot of which I didn't realize, and it surfaced quite clearly and quite loudly as I had moved out of the addiction with food and into the addiction and busyness that led to eventually my burnout, was the voices that were really loud, the monkeys that were really loud, were control and doing. Control was the voice of, if I didn't set an alarm, that the sun wouldn't rise in the morning, that if I didn't control every single aspect of my life, of the project, of the time frame, of the conversation, of the next move somebody else was going to make, producing this constant underlying just uneasiness, stress, tension, and anxiety that the world and the sky, the world might end and the sky might fall on my head, right? This is something that I've been working a lot with as well, working with we know that thoughts create emotions. And so exploring my own emotion of overwhelm being created by this voice of constant doing, this voice of constant, you and I are really good doers. We do things really well. We're really good at doing. We're less good or proficient at being. And so I've noticed multiple times, even recently in meditations, that one of the monkeys and the voice, the constant voices happening are around doing. Even when I try to relax or sit down, the voice or the thought that always arises in my mind is the next thought of doing, what has to be done, what has to be done. And it's an extremely exhaustive type of thought pattern. So I want to give you an overview, like the way that I look at everything. Now, again, you got to be, which is the whole reason you're here, you got to be a stress binge or emotional eater recovering, or a woman recovering from burnout, a smart woman who just struggles at life sometimes, a chronic dieter or yo-yo dieter. Like, this is you. You're going to get this. You're just going to understand this on a really deep level, because the truth is On the outside, it seems totally psychotic if somebody were listening in. So the way that I look at this and the way that I kind of manage things, right? I sometimes call it voice management or focus management, in terms of putting my life in perspective on a daily basis and how I reorganize my thoughts to stay focused in a way that's not a neurotic focus, but really stay centered, creative, connected, and focused in that way. Come back to myself of who I really am. So the way that I see this is really all of the voices and whatever voice and episode two, you heard the formula for habit and behavior change. You know that we have between 50,000 and 70,000 thoughts in any one given day, that the brain has that, the brain experiences that, and the mind can engage in that. Now, all of these voices, they come from, or all of the thoughts, they come from the voices rather, right? All of the voices that we hear, the junkie, the berater, the rationalizer, the perfectionist, the all or nothing, control freak, the doing. We hear all of the voices, and the thoughts sound differently for each of us depending on our own lives and what we're engaged in on a regular basis. And those voices can create emotions, right? So a constant voice of doing creates a lot of exhaustion and busyness. Constant voice of control, of course, creates this underlying tension, anxiety. This is I'm just sharing my perspective and what happens in my life. And remember, thoughts create emotions. Thoughts create emotions. So if we are feeling something that we don't want to feel, that's really awareness step number one, because then we can travel back upstairs and essentially change the channel to feel something different, to feel something that is more desirable as opposed to less than desirable. Right? We're either experiencing common stress, anxiety, frustration, overwhelm, depression, guilt. Those are those less than desirable emotions. And those less than desirable emotions, they're driven by those thought patterns. They're driven by those voices that I'd like to call not our own, of course. And when we get lost, there's two terms I commonly toss around that are really familiar in my life. They feel just right. They make a ton of sense to me. And so one of them is, of course, is this thought addiction, knowing that there's only two places that we can live. We're either living in what I call the fear, or the fear-based voices, right? This is the junkie, the berater, the rationalizer, the perfectionist, the controller, the doer. These are all the voices, the psychotic kind of voices in our head that are happening. They're out there. They're beyond us. And it is habitual in nature for us to become those voices, for us to venture out of our own calm, centered, creative, connected self, the truth of who we are. When I'm creative and connected and centered, I feel at peace because that's the truth of who I really am. And so we're really only living in one of two places. We're back home with ourselves, creative. A lot of clients sometimes call it, it feels very happy. It feels very freeing. There's no worries, right? It's the opposite of those less than desirable emotions. We're either creative and centered and free, feel freeing and happy and calm and at one, peace of mind, or we're engaged in one of the fear-based voices or thought patterns. Now, the way I see things is you and I were raised in a fear-based society. It's fear is all that we have known. And love, essentially the opposite of fear is the way I see it, but love is who we are returning to. Ourselves, back home with ourselves, this habitual peace of mind and centeredness and connectedness and creativity, that's who we really are at our core, at home, at our truth, in ourselves. We don't have to go find her. That's just who we are. It's a return to ourselves. Now, I realize that's scary for some of us because then that poses the question of, well, who am I really? But when we engage in that thought, we're being drawn back into the fear-based thought because when we're at home with ourselves, that thought, we don't engage in that thought. That thought isn't necessarily us. So there's really only one of two places that we're existing in. We're either existing in our fear-based thoughts. And when I say fear, I don't mean we're running from a bear or a saber-toothed tiger here. Like, that's real fear. The fear in our mind or the fear-based thoughts that are produced by the junkie, berater, rationalizer, perfectionist, control, doer, all of those other voices, they are not our own and it's fear that is made up. Hence, it is fear that is not real. Some people will call all of these thought patterns like the ego. There's many terminology. It doesn't really matter. It's really how you can connect and see this. Any way that you can come back home to yourself. And so something that I find very interesting, I call this thought addiction. Thought addiction is when we get really connected and when we, addiction, it is as easy for us to return to fear, to think fearful-based thoughts, to become the rationalizer, to become the junkie, to become the controller, the doer, the perfectionist, the all-or-nothing control freak. It's very easy for us to default to those voices because it's habitual. It's as easy for us to get addicted to sugar as it is to get addicted to a thought pattern when it's habitual. So that's what I call thought addiction, becoming something other than ourselves, engaging in that thought and associating ourselves as something that is not truly us. When we get lost in that fear, it's very addictive in nature. It's very easy, effortless, simple to become the control freak, to become the perfectionist, to get lost in any voice that is born of our own not enoughness. Now, as we get lost or become the thought, right? The whole point is to disassociate ourselves from the thought pattern. This is what I work a lot on. This is kind of what I do in meditation. It is what I do in meditation. It's to be able to disassociate myself from the thought pattern of anything else that is not my own, from any thought pattern that is the fear, to disengage and disassociate from any fear-based thought pattern that's the control freak or the perfectionist or the all or nothing. And so it's at that point when I can come back home to myself and realize that this is just an old, addictive, habitual thought that I am becoming, that I am engaging in. When the truth is that's not who I am. That's not who you are. We are not the bad storyteller, right? The thoughts that happen when somebody looks at you funny and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have worn this, or they're an asshole and blah, 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 right? We're really bad storytellers, but we engage in those thought patterns that are not our own. Now, we can take it one step further, and there's something in this work that I call fear storms. We know that thoughts produce emotions. Thoughts produce emotions. And so each of these voices, right, when you're the junkie and you're in the middle of a binge, or you're a woman business owner and you're a control freak and a perfectionist and you get lost in the doing and start becoming the exhaustion and the fear and the worry, it's when we get lost in the emotions of those voices that are not our own, the fear-based thought patterns, that we get lost in fear storms. And I'm telling you, as you heard my story, like, I got lost in so many fear storms for so long. This isn't about never getting lost in a fear storm again. Some of us can get lost in the overwhelm, the stress, the anxiety, the frustration, the worry, the guilt, the depression for years. And that's not the point. In order to undo the fear storm, we recognize that. We'll talk about that in the practical application portion of today. But being able to recognize the difference between what it is that you're feeling, being able to recognize the fear-based thought-producing emotions, that's that first gateway. That's the first opener, right? I've always said that this journey of creating permanence in our health and peace of mind in our life is not about, we can't think our way through this one. Overthinking is another fear-based thought habit, another addictive thought pattern that's very easy and effortless to fall into and become. And so we can't think our way through this journey. We've got to feel our way through this journey. And so as we feel our way through this journey, there's really one of two places that we can exist in, is we can either exist in fear or we can exist in love. We can exist in, for me, for example, I know that when I'm caught in overwhelm, when I'm caught in anxiety or stress, it's very easy to become that and kind of get lost in that and lose my perspective because I'm working on cultivating coming back home to myself and love as a habit. So it's very easy for me, overwhelm, stress, anxiety, that's a kind of a habitual emotional state. Or when I know that I'm connected and creative and living more in love, connected to the truth of who I really am, for me, there's a deep sense of peace, a deep sense of knowing, like, okay, just breathe because everything's going to be okay. For some clients, they've said before that it's like it's happiness. It's just simple joy, not a neurotic high kind of happiness like that fear brings, like the intensity of, yeah, I got this, I'm in control, I'm doing it. Not that neuroticness, but a deep sense of balanced happiness, peace, freedom. When you come back home to yourself, then we're able to we can disassociate ourselves from the voices that are not our own, stop getting lost in the fear storms, and settle back into who we really are. I'll use, you've heard me talk about meditation. That's what I use. Sometimes meditations seem highly unproductive. I don't think they're ever unproductive in nature, but that's just at that one point where it doesn't have to be, you know, sitting there on a pillow with your legs crossed and your arms folded, but it's more of a coming back to myself. It's just a check-in. When I say meditation, it doesn't have to be, although it is for me to put on some yoga music sometimes, but it's just a check-in for myself where I can find out, like, whoa, where am I right now? Am I getting lost in a thought that is not my own? When we say not my circus, it's fear is not my circus. And junkie, berater, rationalizer, perfectionist, controller, storyteller, like, those are not my monkeys. Those aren't your monkeys either. So slowly over time, we're not looking for perfectionism, right? Just listening to this podcast is not going to, listening to this episode isn't going to say, oh shit, I got this, right? I know exactly where I'm at. This is a habitual way of living and existing in your world that you and I have done for years, right? We can't undo years overnight or just listening to something. This is a lot of, I'm hoping that you're seeing a different perspective, maybe a different way to look at this, which can help. And so as I engage in meditation on a regular basis, I actually posted this on my Instagram page. I was working on, so overwhelm is very common for me. It's an emotional habit. And as I trace that back, thoughts produce emotions, then overwhelm for me is coming from a habitual fear-based way of thinking, a thought addiction from overthinking, constantly overthinking. You know, you've just got too much to do and you want to get this done. And then you've got this project over here. And then you've got these emails to do. Like, it's overwhelming. And that overwhelm yanks me out of my own creative space. It yanks me out of my calm, cool, connected center where it's like, Maya, breathe. Everything's okay. Everything's taken care of. You don't just take the alarm off. The sun's going to rise and you don't have to worry about it. I wrote this on my Instagram page. If you go over there, it's the picture of the blooming cactus, which are absolutely beautiful here in Arizona. And I said, one full week of diffusing overwhelm by redirecting my overthinking habit. And today I found I could literally watch impatience arise, see it, and still choose compassion in that moment, almost effortlessly. I was laughing in my office yesterday when I heard Eckhart Tolle refer to our mental habits as dysfunctional mental commentary. Spot on, Eckhart, spot on. Peace of mind is more in control than we could ever have imagined. I was listening to Eckhart Tolle the other day, who called, right, we're talking about our monkeys, the voices in our head, the psychosis, the when we feel like we have something's wrong with us, we've got a split personality. It's very much the voices in our head, and Eckhart Tolle calls them the dysfunctional mental commentary, which I thought was highly, highly appropriate. And so my hope for you today, of course, is that you see the big picture here. It's a new perspective on the fact that we are very much in control with what thoughts we can choose. And every thought that we choose is either based in fear or it's based in love. Now, of course, when I say love, you know, I do not mean that all popular flower power hippie kind of love. Like, I'm talking about a deep existence, a way of being in this world kind of love. And so we are fully in charge of what thoughts it is that we can engage in, meaning that we can be engaging and becoming any one of those dysfunctional mental commentaries, any voice, any monkey. We can be engaging in that and becoming that and getting lost in that. And as we get lost in it, we become or get lost in the fear storm, the less than desirable emotion that is produced by any one of these voices. You know, if perfectionism and all or nothing can cause a lot of anxiety, and controlling voices can cause a lot of stress and anxiety, underlying tension, uneasiness. The junkie and the berater cause a lot of like highs and lows, some very inappropriate, inauthentic, authentic feeling good and feeling bad. It's very neurotic in a way. Always having to do creates a lot of exhaustion and stress in our lives. And those are the fear storms that we can get lost in for far too long. Because the truth is that we have the power to be able to choose a thought. What thought is it that we want to engage in? Knowing that thought addiction, as we find ourselves like just, you know, in the middle of the day getting lost in the stress or the overwhelm, it's like we're blindsided. You kind of look around like, what the hell just happened? I totally got lost in something, and that's not the truth of who I am. And now I can find my way back and return to all of the truth of who I am, the calm center, the creative, the passive receiving center that I am, whatever the hell you want to call it. And so I joke sometimes because people talk about letting go. And it's funny because sometimes my clients will ask, or students of habit and behavior change will ask, well, how do I let go? And it's one of those things that when I first started learning about the whole concept of letting go, and people would write about letting go, I I joke like I did want to punch them in the face. Like, how the hell am I supposed to do that? Can you give me like a flow chart for this? Can you give me an ABC 1-2-3? So think about this, right? If you're visualizing all of this, you've got your fear circus, your monkeys, your dysfunctional mental commentary, all those psychotic voices. And so the process of letting go, you can actually, when you integrate it in your life, when you practice maybe some meditation, or think of a time honestly in your life where maybe you were on vacation, or you were sitting in the sunshine, or you were you were smelling flowers. I'm sharing all of mine with you. It's in those moments where we come back home to ourselves easily, effortlessly, and naturally, where we're not worrying about things and we are in a state of grace and peace of mind, and it feels really good. And remember that when you remember that time, because that's a very precious time for you to be able to compare it to a time when you're like, oh, okay, I felt really good. And it was non-neurotic. It was peace and it was calm. And so when you're engaging in the thought, any thought pattern, which is going to be habitual because it's all we've ever known, when we let go of the thought pattern, when we disassociate ourselves from the thought pattern, sometimes I'll look at it and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not my shit. It's not my shit, right? When I get overwhelmed with like, my schedule or this or that, when I get overwhelmed with things or I realize I'm overthinking, I can use this kind of concept that I explained to you, this, I know, crazy concept, but I can use this kind of visual and look at everything as one big whole truth to realize like, whoa, overthinking, not my monkey, overthinking, not my shit, not my dysfunctional mental commentary, not my voice, not the truth of who I really am. And if it's not the truth of who I really am, the overwhelm isn't either. All of this is not mine. Now I can put it down and I can return back to who I really am. And that's kind of how I see letting go, right? So when we have to let go of or put down a thought pattern that is not our own, we also put down the fear storm that comes along with it because thoughts create emotions. So we put down that thought and we disassociate ourselves from that thought. And every time that we do that, that's where we actually, or at least I can share my experience with you, that's where I've been able to cultivate a little trust, because there's fear that says, whoa, 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 if I put down this thought of control, if I actually put this thought down, like if I do not set the alarm anymore, how do I know that the sun isn't going to rise, right? How do I know that this won't be taken care of? How do I know that I won't be irresponsible by doing this? So there are real fears behind the fear-based thought patterns, right? There are real, that's kind of how I look at it in a big picture in terms of, if you will, it's the ego or the fear-based voices. And so it's always, it's like got its grip holds on you. That's the thought addiction. It draws you back in and says, no, you're going to be irresponsible. No, you're not going to be in control of your life. No, that's not going to work out the way it is. So every time that we work to let go of or put down a thought, we're actually anchoring in trust, being able to trust ourselves. Now, I don't know what you believe, whether you believe nothing or something or energy or universe or God, I don't care, but we're able to trust ourselves, to trust in something that's larger than us. Every time in habit and behavior change, we actually call this, we use thought redirection to choose another thought, and then we anchor that in with evidence journaling. Like there's actually real work to be done here in terms of how do I let go of a very specific thought. I just want to give you a 10,000 foot overview today of really how I look at my own fear-based thoughts and then return back home to myself to really kind of put things in perspective, knowing that of course it's easy, but not necessarily simple. So there is a process, of course, behind all of this in order to do it. So it's not just about, well, I'm just going to put down this thought and return back to who I am and my life's going to be all fine and dandy, right? There's certainly a process to it, but that's what I wanted to share with you today was the whole concept of thought addiction and getting lost in our thoughts, becoming the fear-based thoughts, because they're really powerful when that's all we've ever known and that's all we've ever lived in. Coming back to the perfectionism, all or nothing thought, when I ask students in my workshops to go find a better feeling thought, then if you're an all or nothing, 100% black and white thinker, to find a thought that's balanced, to find a thought that's middle of the ground, middle road, that's actually pretty difficult at first. You learn and it gets easier, but it's only difficult at first because the brain is not even wired as such, right? The brain is, every time we think a habitual thought, those neurons fire in a very specific sequence, and deeper the groove gets, more habitual that way of thinking becomes. It's the path to the stream is effortless to go down to get water. But if we want to start going to the well to get water, that path is not carved. That path is not open. There's a bunch of shit in the way. And we've got to be these path carvers. We have to be the director of our lives instead of the directed in order to start thinking differently. We have to tell our brain, because we are not our brain, to start thinking something different. And by thinking something different, we find a better feeling thought. Thought addiction is really just habitual thinking. Yeah, it's the whole purpose of habit and behavior change and creating permanence in our health and peace of mind in our life is not in doing differently. It's in learning to think differently, because in thinking differently, we learn to feel differently, and we can feel our way through something very new. And those fear storms, of course, that's what I mean when I say fear storms, are those fear-based thoughts create emotions. And so if we're feeling something that's less than desirable in nature, we can get lost in that fear storm, knowing that the thought that created that emotion in the first place is not our monkey. So how the heck can you start applying this in your life? What can you do with this? How can you start making this weirdness real for yourself? This is where I like to start talking about what we've talked about today in terms of fear, habitual fear-based thoughts versus coming back home to ourself in our own love, connectedness, creativity, freedom, happiness. I want you to think of, define two sets of emotions. So I want you to think of a time in your life where you were on vacation. You did have the sunshine on your face. You were feeling good, not a neurotic high kind of good, but just a balanced, calm, good. You weren't thinking about all the things that had to get done or all of this stuff, right? I want you to put a couple emotions to that. How did that feel for you? For me, that space, as I shared with you, it's very peaceful. It's very, everything's okay. It's happy, but it's an underlying, like, everything's good. There's no rush to get anywhere, no rush to do anything. Everything in this moment is perfect. Clients and students sometimes call it happiness or freedom or connectedness or I'm creative. So I want you to define those, put a few emotions to those, right? And then I also want you to put a few emotions, name a few emotions, put some emotions down to the fear-based thoughts. So if you're a control freak, a recovering control freak, I say that with love. If you're a perfectionist, an all or nothing thinker, when you're engaging in those fear-based thoughts, this is your common habitual emotions, right? Those thoughts produce emotions. So In different times in our life, they're going to be very different. But what are your common habitual emotions in terms of, are you constantly stressed? Are you constantly in anxiety or overwhelm or frustration or worry or guilt or any less than desirable emotion? So I want you to be able to define those two places and spaces and times. Is what does the coming back home to myself feel like? And you've had a snippet. Somewhere in your life, you've had a snippet. I know that you have. And if it's hard to recall right now, just get quiet for a minute and come back home to yourself and make the intention, set the intention, the foundation to come back to the truth of who you are, because a seeker will always find where she's going. I promise you that. And so you'll define what love feels like and you'll define what fear feels like. And now instead of going out into your world in the next couple days and being like, oh shit, now I have to monitor 50,000 thoughts a day. Like, we can't do that. But what we can do is tap in, tune in, and turn on to how it is that we're feeling. How it is that we're feeling. Because we can determine at that point, maybe even just, you know, set a little phone alarm or something like that that says, how am I feeling? And if I find that 3 o'clock rolls around and I'm feeling really overwhelmed, you can stop for a minute, take a few breaths, do some deep breathing, some belly breathing, go put your earbuds on and put a good piece of music on. Stop that damn thought pattern in its tracks. I'm not asking you to change it right now, but just stop it in its tracks, right? That could be potentially step number two. Step number one, differentiate what fear and love feels like. Know where it is that you're existing at any one given moment in your life and start tapping in, tuning in on any one given day to how you feel on a regular basis. And should that feel good to you, with little to no resistance, of course, then you can move into stopping that habitual, less than desirable emotion, right? This is a massive amount of undigestible bits. All of our voices, all of our less than desirable emotions, these are all undigestible bits in our life, keeping us from habitual peace of mind. And so anytime that you're in a fear-based, less than desirable, undigestible emotion, that's your flag, right? That's your life saying, hey, pay attention to me. Come back home to yourself, because this is not where I want to be. So understanding what the emotion feels like and then stopping the thought pattern, not changing it yet, but just stopping it. Do some deep breathing, put your earbuds in and go listen to a good piece of music, and that will stop it in its tracks. So this is super exciting. If you want to take this work deeper with the undigestible emotions that you're experiencing, the habitual less than desirable emotions that you're experiencing, if you are a chronic dieter, yo-yo dieter, stress binge, and emotional eater, and or woman suffering from burnout, and you experience common undigestible emotions like stress, anxiety, overwhelm, fear, frustration, guilt, depression, that kind of stuff, I would like to invite you, now knowing, of course, that our emotions are driven by our thought patterns, I'd like to invite you. I have at the end of the month in May, and if you're listening to this sometime beyond that, then the link will still be there for you. But I'm doing a big 6-day emotional habit transformation challenge. It's going to be a transformation experience where you're going to be able to dive in and understand, see, unpack, and retrain these undigestible emotions that you're experiencing habitually in your life. We're going to start really taking a look at how do I apply thought redirection, evidence journaling, and start changing the habitual way that I think in order to change how I habitually feel and return home to the truth and the love and the creativity and connectedness and peace of mind that I really am. The cool thing is that this challenge, because some of us come into this work very skeptical, and that's totally cool. I get it. I know. I've been there. So the cool thing about this challenge, if you head to the show notes or head to my website at healthyhabitsolutions.com, the way I've set it up is this, is it's only $1 to join us, super, super inexpensive. Just join us. It'll reserve your ticket. And then after the challenge, after your 6 days, it's going to be $25. There's no catch here. I'm putting everything on the table for you. After the challenge, it's $25. And that's only as long as you got massive amounts of like, Maya, that was awesome. That really helped me. And I was really able to transform and see a lot of those undigestible, less than desirable emotions. And I now know how to be the director a little bit more of my life than I was before. But if you come to me and say, Maya, that sucked. I hated it. I got nothing. I'm not going to charge you. And I'll even refund you your dollar. So that should remove a lot of doubt and skepticism and all of that good stuff. But I would love to invite you into this challenge and this transformation to be able to undo all those undigestible emotions that are not helpful for you in the least bit and help you return to the peace of mind and the truth of who you really are. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. If this is helpful, please subscribe. And of course, if 5 stars feels good to you, that would be amazing to leave that as well. I love you so much. Have an amazing day.